Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we like to tee it up with the friends from Talk Radio News. They are the true insiders, none better than the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney. Hello, Bob Ney. How are you?
I'm an insider. Extreme.
That's right. You are an insider, and you're really
tired. I've been in the congressional halls and in the prisons, so I've been everywhere.
That's a good thing, because you can look at it from different eyes. You have a different perspective. No doubt about it. You've certainly been here before, so it looks like the House is set to pass a spending bill. What's your take on all of that?
That's $1.1 trillion. It is agreed to. There's some winners and losers, but for the most part, you know, Head Start didn't get devastated, and some of the programs were kept intact. There's a little bit of pork, not too much, but a little bit in it. The military got some money back. So it's going to be a budget that maybe the far left and the far right are not going to like it, but at the end of the day, you know, the White House will sign it, and it'll carry us to October the 1st.
And that's all that matters. We just got to get there, right?
Yes, really, right. It's a maintenance budget. Look, they used to do budgets 3 days at a time. Now they're doing at least 5 or 6 months.
There you go. So it's progress. That's called progress.
Right.
Last time you and I talked, we were talking about Chris Christie and this whole bridge thing, and now you see what's happened. The latest poll says the public's kind of split on Christie and whether they believe him and what his involvement is. What's your take on how he comes out of this?
The bridge thing is now, it's a backseat thing. It really is. 2 days ago, I would have said, okay, how does he survive it? But unless there's an email saying, you know.
Pretty much
right.
Shut it down
And you're expected to believe everything.
Well, that's what you said a long time ago about that whole transparency thing in the White House when they first came in, I guess. We're continuing down that same road. You know what else was interesting, though, is that the challenge to the Obamacare actually was rejected by the district court in D.C. And maybe to some handicapping this isn't necessarily a surprise, is it?
No, it's not a surprise at all. There's going to be a lot of frivolous lawsuits, and there have been a lot of frivolous lawsuits, and this was just another one, and basically the judge just threw it out.
Yep, so there it goes by the by. The thing that is obviously so near and dear to you is what's going on in the South Sudan, and what's the House Foreign Affairs take on the South Sudan?
Response? They had a hearing today, a full committee hearing, and basically they're saying, you know, that they have to support democracy and all that stuff. But, of course, we also know that the Ugandan Air Force is now there supporting President Kiir. There is some question as to whether they used white phosphorus, which is considered quite an illegal weapon in the world. Nobody will own up to it, and the United Nations is being very they're saying, well, we have to check with UNMISS, which is the United Nations mission in South Sudan. I got to tell you, a lot of people are not saying a lot of information. And it's one of the areas I know so well. And if we know that area so well, I wonder what we're not hearing about other areas. And, of course, Benghazi was one of them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's huge. And people have been following the Benghazi thing since it happened. And do you think this is a case of, you know, this is politics, and Benghazi is not a good thing for the administration? I think they're trying to slough it off. But the bipartisan investigation, you said, found that the State Department didn't listen to the security warnings, did they?
Not at all. And, you know, now they're blaming Hillary Clinton. Give me a break.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been blaming Hillary Clinton. Do you think that even touches her in 2016 if she runs?
Well, obviously it'll touch her, but who do the Republicans have? They have Chris Christie at this point.
The bridge to nowhere. So
right.
There you go. All right, Ellen Ratner, always a pleasure. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye. So starting off, talking about what's hot in Washington and then segging into some other things here on this first hour of America Tonight, something that happened in D.C. that made a big splash and continues to possibly affect all of us. In fact, it would affect all of us, is this U.S. appeals court Tuesday throwing out the federal rules requiring broadband providers to treat all internet traffic equally. So it raises the prospect that broadband websites, you know, the ones that really pull, that need a lot of broadband, like Netflix, might have to pay what they would call a toll to ensure the quality service. So you have to figure, all right, if they're getting smacked with new fees, if there's that possibility, will you and I get slammed with those fees too as well? So that court throwing out the rules of the road, basically, for the Internet is a very, very big, big, big story. The net neutrality, which, of course, the big companies were pushing for, could ultimately be tossed down to you and I. And think of how much and what you do in your daily life when it comes to, comes to the Internet. And the FCC says that companies like, for example, Verizon, even if you wanted to go there, and Comcast had to treat all similar content on their networks equally, whether it was a YouTube video, let's say, or home video posted on a personal website. So the concern for those companies is what is going to happen with the potential of fees. And this has been a long, long, long battle and a lot of heated discussions over this. And I was kind of surprised by it. And I worry ultimately that we could be looking squarely at paying yet something else on top of what we're already paying. You know, it's like that whole idea, the Internet is free, but how free really is the Internet, and how much is it going to impinge on us when it comes trickling down the road? Look at your cell phone, for example, when you get the bill. Look at the cell phone taxes. It's crazy, isn't it? All the taxes on your phone. It's like when they're trying to negotiate a deal with you and they tell you, well, it's $49.99 or it's $79.99 or whatever it is. They always make it sound as though that's the bottom line price. But then you realize with all the taxes that are added, it's much, much higher than advertised. So get ready for another fee to jack up maybe your bundling services or whatever. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's not going to happen the next day, but it could be happening someday soon. That's why you got to pay attention to any of the conversation when it comes to the issue of net neutrality. All right, we're going to certainly bang around on a couple of things as we are wont to do here on America Tonight, as you know. There's some follow-ups on that New Mexico shooting, some things that might be very surprising to you. And you heard Ellen there talk about Benghazi, and that is huge, obviously, because on this show, we talked about it from the day it happened, how ridiculous it was to push what happened on Benghazi on what was going on in Egypt, and saying that this was all due to the film, the anti-Prophet Muhammad film, which, of course, it had nothing to do with that. Really, the focus was because it was the anniversary of 9/11, which is always something that, who wants to see that? But, of course, the administration doesn't want to see that because it emphasizes, oh, every single time we come up upon a 9/11 date, there could be an attack somewhere. And Benghazi now, they're admitting this is, of course, exactly what it was, and there was warnings and nothing happened. We're going to dive deeper on that coming up on the flip side here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold. It's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
Tonight, when it comes to Benghazi, first of all, I mentioned at the top that it was a bipartisan committee. I think I did, but it's not. It was a bipartisan intelligence committee that reported the information that came out finally after how long has it been and several investigations and conversations and dating back a couple of years. And on the Republican side of things, they had their own set of conclusions. In fact, the committee VP, Saxby Chambliss of Georgia, was one. Marco Rubio from Florida, Tom Coburn from Oklahoma, say that the attack, jointly they released a statement, that the attack could partly be related to Obama's failure, in their words, to establish a clear detention policy for terror suspects that get the most out of intelligence collection. So instead of sending terror suspects directly to Gitmo, they're interrogating suspects on Navy ships, sometimes for weeks at a time, before sending them to the United States for trial. And somehow a lot of people don't realize, one, that that's happening, but it is. And then ultimately they end up at Gitmo. And I think there is something to this. A more concise policy for whatever that detention is going to be and that interrogation is going to be. And unfortunately, in the Benghazi situation in Libya, there were a ton of gaps on the information. And so the military, the militia groups really basically, and what the security forces were and the pre-planning for the attacks and all of the stuff in between that was completely lost, which really makes no sense because there was absolutely a sense of urgency that we need to ramp up. The calls for more security didn't happen. And then look ultimately what happened. The terrorists, extremists, whatever, were able to take advantage of a situation where they knew they had an opening, where they knew they could get in and wreak havoc. And that's absolutely what happened. It's absolutely what happened. So there is a vulnerability, certainly, for our diplomats in their facilities because, of course, attacks can happen at any time. But when they knew, it's that whole thing about ramping up for September 11th. And when they knew that there was problems already being reported there, this is an abomination that they did not provide that extra security because they were repeatedly asked about it, knowing that there was, and knowing that there was something that was not right there, and sure enough, look what happened. There was enough warning that there were people in danger. You know, even though it was an appointed warning, here's what we're going to do, here's the attack, there were those flags, those proverbial red flags that were up all over the place. And the report that came out placed some of the blame for the outcome on the State Department, saying it should have increased its security more significantly in Libya's second largest city because of the warnings that the people there, the U.S. personnel, was at risk. The findings also showed that the FBI had told the panel that 15 people, and this is significant, cooperating with their investigation had been killed in Benghazi. That undercut the investigation. So it wasn't clear if the killings were related to the investigation or not, but suddenly 15 people are killed, so you have to assume that there's something to this. But the fact that the deadly attack on that diplomatic compound in Benghazi, to say that it was likely preventable based on known security shortfalls and prior warnings that the security situation there was deteriorating, and for that to come out from the Senate Intelligence Committee concluding that in their report, I think is incredibly big. And to the family of Ambassador Stevens and the family of the other victims, it pours more salt in the wounds. But when something, I understand when something like this happens, the families want to know every element of it, and it probably is now just an awful reminder, hearing those words, that it was likely preventable based on known security shortfalls and all the warnings. And you still, I mean, you got to say it. It's like Ellen says, well, and of course they're blaming it on Hillary Clinton, but Hillary Clinton had a big misstep where she said, well, there's nothing we can do now, where she got very hot under the collar when she was had to eventually go and talk about Benghazi. Her aides had been up there. Other people had been grilled, but she hadn't been. And she had she didn't like getting asked the questions about Benghazi. She answered them. But then toward the end of it, she said, "What? You know, we have to move, you know, basically whatever. It's done. We have to move on with this." And in fact, at the tail end of the hour, we'll talk about more about this with Andrew Szabo in our Peel Back the Onion segment and what does it mean. What I said with Ellen there, I think it comes up, and she made the comment about Chris Christie. The Republicans don't have the clear-cut candidate, you know, not somebody everybody's talking about anything like that, just a lot of different names. And I think that the Benghazi situation comes up with Hillary Clinton, but I don't know that I certainly don't think that this tanks her. It doesn't tank her, but it does question why didn't they heed the warnings. And for goodness sake, when we post our people in these strategic points around the world, what can they expect in return? There is no 100%, but there should be some protections, especially when the signs are there. You got to remember that the U.S. ambassador to Libya, Christopher Stevens, was no newbie to this game. He had been a lifelong public servant, especially overseas. The Libyan people really liked Stevens. And I think coming from his office and saying, we got some problems here, they should have heeded it. And they didn't. And now that the report says that, it validates all those concerns that were out there before. And who and what and the responses and 15 people who were cooperating with the FBI suddenly killed. I guess somebody didn't want the United States to find out the specifics of how they could trace this back and who it would go back to, whether it was somebody in Al-Qaeda or somebody in some other terror-related group similar to it. And, you know, we're talking 2012 and the Benghazi situation where four Americans were killed, and immediately the story coming out about it was wrong from the get-go. Kate Delaney, America Tonight, so that's where we're at, Benghazi. Your thoughts, 855-266-5283. When we deploy Americans in these positions, there is a certain risk associated with it, and you cannot 100%, as I keep saying, tell somebody that they're absolutely secure, but can't they expect a certain level of security? And especially if they're the eyes and the ears on the ground, can't they expect, or shouldn't they expect, if they say, we're in trouble here, you got to throw us a rope, which they did twice, not once, but twice, well before September 11th. In fact, 6 to 7 months before, it was the first time that they said, I think we're in trouble, and got nothing. And would it have made a difference? Of course, because whoever was trying to attack had some knowledge of weak security, and they were able to get in there and easily victimize our people. So at least we have the likely preventable, based on known security shortfalls and prior warnings, to think about. Hang with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight, including the pipeline, Keystone Pipeline, from U.S., from Canada all the way through the belly of the beast in the U.S. Should it happen now or not?
I will never forget the day my son Jeremy told me he hated me and slammed the door in my face. I'm behavioral therapist Janet Lehman. Behavior problems can turn the child you love and your life into a nightmare. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the step-by-step program that shows you how to fix the worst behavior problems and get your child to respect and listen to you again. No matter what the behavior, defiance, backtalk, angry outbursts, disrespect, we can help you stop it. Now you can get the Total Transformation for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. You can keep it forever for free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284. That's 1-800-807-8284. 1-800-807-8284.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at LegalShield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, LegalShield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues, no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283, or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Would you like being an insider? Would you like getting exclusive access to prizes and better deals? Would you like some help in making sure you and your loved ones are prepared for the next disaster or emergency? If you answered yes to any of these, here's your simple solution. Join Freeze-Dry Guy's Survival Insider Club. Not only is your membership free, you get $10 in survival bucks just for signing up. Then you save at least 10% on purchases, plus enjoy insider access to specials, prizes, and other exclusive offers. Since 1970, veteran-owned Freeze-Dry Guy has been your trusted source for long-lasting, easy-to-make freeze-dried food and dehydrated food, perfect for emergency preparedness, RV travel, and outdoor needs from camping to sailing. Enjoy life as a survival insider. Call Freeze-Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD, or log on to freezedryguy.com. That's freezedryguy.com.
Great news, pure water lovers. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has a special discount offer for all GCN listeners. You can't do better than a Big Berkey for economy. For only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. There's none better than a Big Berkey for emergency preparedness as a backup water source. And you just can't beat a Big Berkey to remove dangerous chlorine, all types of fluoride, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, and unhealthy byproducts from municipal water. Berkey water filter systems are even powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. For the gold standard in water filters, get a Big Berkey at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. For details, call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Before we head to the pipeline, and this is the toss-in. I got an email as part of, checking the mail earlier in the day. I got an email from Bob listening to us in the great state of Vermont, and he said, Katie, check the poll on Chris Christie and the scandal and Hillary Clinton, which is interesting. So, in talking about Benghazi and what kind of blowback this has on Hillary Clinton in 2016, because let's face it, she's running unless something happens. She's running and probably gets the nomination. 70% of Americans say that bridge closure, slamming the lanes closed, several of them over the George Washington Bridge in September, that now Chris Christie is trying to fend this off and there's an investigation. It hasn't changed their opinion about the governor. 44% of the people who responded believe he's telling the truth about his knowledge of the events surrounding it. But when it comes to potential 2016 Republican candidates, he's lost ground to the former Secretary of State Clinton in a hypothetical presidential matchup and trails her by 13 points, which means you don't win the election. Remember, it's all about the polls. For people around politics and the people that control politics, they poll till they're blue on the face on every issue. Any controversy where you can pit one hypothetical against another hypothetical, that's too many points. So there's no way anyone on the Republican side of the aisle would say, well, let's embrace Chris Christie. They're not going to embrace Chris Christie. Pretty much the lane closure has closed off the route to the presidency for CC. He better enjoy being the governor and suck it in for all it's worth, because there is no way he gets nominated. No way, no how. All right, speaking of no way, no how, I love this quote from Jack Gerard, a guy I know who's been on the show a couple of times. He's the president of the American Petroleum Institute. So we know he has a certain interest in oil, obviously. But Gerard said, it's taken longer to approve the Keystone XL pipeline than it did to win World War II. Longer than it took us to put a man in space, and almost as long as it took us to build the Transcontinental Railroad 155 years ago. The Canadians are sick of it. They don't want to wait. The XL pipeline is stuck in a forever limbo, it seems, on our side, on the U.S. side. Recently, Canada's Energy Board gave a big high five for a $6.5 billion pipeline that would carry 525,000 barrels of oil a day from the oil sands of Alberta to ships on the British Columbia coast. So what's the final destination? This isn't a secret. We have talked about this a lot. This is a project that I am very versed in, and we've had all sides of this on America Tonight. It would get shipped into Asia. You got to think about this. The State Department got the application September of 2008. That's why the sarcasm from Gerard. 1,700 miles, that's what the pipeline would be. There would be jobs that would be created from the pipeline. Think of building the pipeline, where it's going, you know, all that sort of stuff. And so even though we have a domestic boom, think of North Dakota when it comes to producing oil, that would even take more of that OPEC need off of the board. I mean, the U.S. still imports about half of the crude it uses. So working on this approval and dragging their heels, this decision that's going to be made after the issues, environmental, economic, safety issues, energy, blah, blah, blah. And the reason I poo-poo this is because they had it on the board. They tested it. They were going to do it until environmentalists got ugly around the White House and decided, the president wants to run for a second term. We can't alienate the environmentalists. So they backed down. So, and the environmentalists say this could be Exxon Valdez all over again. So let's just block this whole thing. Let's just block it. And the question becomes, what say you, America? Thumbs up or thumbs down on this? Stephen Harper is pro-oil. They want to get that oil that they have, a ton of it. They want to get it to market. So they're going to do it without the U.S. That's why they talked about going in the other direction and taking it into Asia. That's what's going to happen. So you have to think of the Bakken Shale in North Dakota. We've talked about it. We just talked about it last week with an energy specialist, Dan Kish, who's coming back on the show to talk about other energy policies. But it's booming. I mean, there is no question. These reserves, you got to keep going after these reserves, and it's phenomenal from that perspective. But are we costing ourselves by not going after this pipeline before it's too late and it ends up in the hands of China? I think it ends up in the hands of China. So Canada running a pipeline in the other direction. He'll get the approval, he'll get the financing, and he'll get the alternate route, even though some people don't think that he'll get it, because it would be much easier to go through the United States. I mean, so you make up your mind. If you're incredibly worried about the environment and you think it's evil, immoral, wrong, then you cannot be for this pipeline, right? No matter how safe it could be. but then you cannot whine about being dependent on oil as we are, and as we will continue to import it, even if we are flush in other directions. So, do you want the jobs? Do you want the pipeline? Or do you say, nah, forget it? And believe me, there are some conservatives who don't want it. They don't want it. And you have to remember, in North Dakota, it's private land. So government getting involved in that, not going to happen. At least not now, it's not going to happen, right? And you look at the pipeline, I was looking at the route the other day, and we've put this up on our site. We've done all that kind of stuff. So, as I said, we've talked about the pipeline a lot. And what's new about it is just that tick, 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 Canada's getting impatient. So some of your major routes, you know, you would be in Steel City, Nebraska, Cushing, Oklahoma, Houston, Texas, Port Arthur, Texas. Ironically, all these places I have been through. A couple of towns in Illinois. Jobs, is it worth it? The money, some of the money that would be pumped in, or no? Let them move to the other plan that they had. Because 2008, this is 2014, and they are chomping at the bit to make this happen. And I don't think they're going to wait. I just don't think Canada's going to wait anymore. So we might not be the partners on this one, and we may lose out big time. Or maybe not. Maybe your perspective is, yeah, I remember Exxon Valdez, and yeah, I remember the spill in the Gulf, and yeah, I don't know. Do we need to have access to the Canadian pipeline oil? Do we lose out on this? Is it a big risk for us? I mean, I think we lose out. But I know many environmentalist groups would not agree with me. They talk about groundwater. They'd say, how can you 100% think it's secure? And, of course, nothing is 100%. Remember my rule, even though I know that it was approved many, many years ago, and then suddenly it was taken back. So I'm a thumbs-up person on this one. I think there are lots of benefits to the United States. You might disagree. Keep that in mind, because we're going to be talking about the pipeline in weeks to come for sure. It's on everyone's radar again, because once Canada commits in a different direction, well, then that's it. Once they're already building and it's going a different way, it's not going to go to the United States. It'll be done. It's off the board. And I'm thinking it's going to be off the board. And not in our laps. Not in our laps at all. Quickly, I want to say this. I want to work this in before we go to Andrew Szabo and Peel Back the Onion, where we'll come full circle in this hour and bounce back to Benghazi and a few other things. The 12-year-old boy who had the shotgun went into school in Roswell, New Mexico, opened fire in the gym, warned some students to stay away before the attack. That's the new thing that's being reported, and how interesting is that? Before he went to his middle school, he was planning this in advance. The victims, an 11-year-old boy and a 13-year-old girl, just random. Doesn't seem as though there's any bullying, any weird thing there where there was a vendetta to go after someone. It was just a random deal. But planning it, getting the sawed-off shotgun from the home, having the three rounds of ammunition, all three rounds were expended. Man, oh man, just an awful, awful, awful thing. The 11-year-old boy who was shot in the face and neck, still in critical condition. My, oh my, and the girl's doing a little bit better. Stay with us.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of 100% blocked arteries. in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Welcome back to America Tonight. The marketing chef, Andrew Sabo, is with us. Peel back the onion. He is a strategist, marketing, and branding expert, also a professional speaker. Andrew, big news, I think. It's not necessarily new news in a way, because many of us wouldn't be surprised by this, but it is official. A bipartisan investigation found the State Department failed to actually pay attention to, or heed, if you will, the security warnings in Benghazi, and they're saying the attack could have been prevented. So, yes. You know, here we go. This has been so long that this has played out. I feel awful for the ambassador, Stevens, who was killed in this, and the three others as well. And this is what we knew, that, you know, it was just like, let's shove this down the field and say, well, let's move on because we feel sorry for what happened. But, of course, the reason I believe for that is because they knew they should have paid attention when they had so many warnings. And look what it leads to. It leads to a tragedy. And I'm glad that it's a bipartisan investigation, because this, you can't play politics with this one. You got Democrats and Republicans saying, this is what happened. So your reaction?
Yeah, well, I think this is interesting. Just yesterday, there was the report from the House, which actually did go a little bit further even in what they were saying that actually Panetta had actually told the White House on the day, on 9/11, saying this is a terrorist attack, and that there are links to definite links to Al Qaeda. And then now today we have, as you said, the report from the Senate. Now, of course, it's bipartisan, but the Senate is controlled by the Democrats. So it's the Democrats leading this. So this is a very interesting, now if we peel back the onion, and of course this also directly contradicts the New York Times report that, you know, was heavily touted, saying, oh, that's not, that was denying that there were connections to Al Qaeda. And now we see that there definitely are Both the House and the Senate concur. This was definitely a terrorist attack and not sparked by any kind of video or nonsense like that. So what's the ramifications from that? Well, I think, you know, a couple of them, you know, why did they do this? I mean, one has to look at what happened in the past and what were the ramifications for the future. I believe from the past point of view, this was, remember, let's look at the timing of this. 9/11, September, we're talking just weeks away from an election. And the president had been saying again and again, Al-Qaeda's on the run. And so he was, you know, positioning himself that he has had some success in foreign policy. Well, of course, this, that would have directly contradicted that had they, you know, assented to the fact that this was a terrorist attack on, against them. I think sometimes people forget an embassy is sovereign soil of that nation. So that is an attack. That's just like having an attack on our sovereign soil in this country. An embassy is the sovereign soil. So that was an attack on America, on our sovereign soil, essentially. And,
yeah,
you know, so obviously you have the ambassador murdered. So did this, that would have totally, you know, could have run, could have had some serious effects on the election. I think from the future point of view, what's, you know, obviously this puts again now the New York Times in, you know, their credibility is going down the toilet. I mean, they were once upon a time a very credible news source. This is clearly propaganda that they were putting out, and now like this clearly exposes it. And I think, you know, the people are obviously touting Hillary Clinton is going to be a serious contender as a candidate for the next presidential race. And I think the words that she said will haunt her. What does it matter? You know, throwing up her hands, getting mad at the fact that she was being examined and being questioned. But now we see it was clearly a political maneuver by both Obama and Clinton. To hide the fact that that was a terrorist attack, because that would have exposed, you know, their a key weakness at a critical point in the campaign. So it was clearly a political maneuver. I think people are going to see that. You know, the president's credibility, the Democrats' credibility has been starting to, you know, is being shredded by Obamacare, and now we see in foreign policy. So what has been the accomplishments of this president? Not a lot.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's interesting. And for sure, I know I've got some great inside knowledge on the Hillary Clinton stuff and what happened there, obviously, and the fact that, you know, they're poo-pooing the 2016, but there's no question there are already a couple of PACs raising money, so she is going to be the nominee. I'm not so sure it totally sinks her, but it's going to be part of the conversation, and it depends on who the Republican nominee is. Very exciting what's going to happen, I think, as we watch it unfold and we get closer to 2016. You know, and it's funny, you mentioned Obamacare, and a huge time bomb went off with Obamacare. Millions of new enrollees, Andrew, are signing up for Medicaid because of the expansion under Obamacare. But they're going to be stunned when they learn that their estates can be held liable for the cost of their health care. So now this is another little present that's dropping that wasn't discussed or realized because of the enormity of the bill and how it was shoved through ultimately.
Right. And the expense side of it is also further exacerbated because it's continuing to report. I was just reading something earlier today that a lot of it was dependent on a lot of young people signing up. That's not happening.
Yep.
And so, therefore, because they're dependent, you know, remember, this is, at the end of the day, insurance works as a pool. And you need, you know, the healthier people, and you need, you know, to pay for those who are not so healthy. If all you have is unhealthy people, older people, that means the price is going to escalate dramatically. So it's one layer compounding on top of another layer, and I think there's still more time bombs will go off as we see some of these employer plans they put off, remember, for a year. They're going to that time limit's they were given another year, and that's going to expire not long before the election. And that whole time bomb, when millions more would lose their insurance, even more than what we've seen at the end of last year.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to be really, really, really surprised. And it's an individual thing, because all of a sudden something changes on you, you don't really realize it, and then before you know it, you look up and there you go. How about Chris Christie? Let's throw this one as our last one, because everybody, not just back east, but everywhere else is talking about Chris Christie, a former federal prosecutor who actually put Rod Blagojevich, who used to be the governor of Illinois, behind bars, is now joining this investigation into Chris Christie in relationship to the money that was used, was behind the getting people to come back to New Jersey after Sandy, because the price tag was like $25 million, and there was extra money spent to use the governor. So they're really looking into this as to whether there was some shenanigans behind this. What a blunder this could turn out to be, and it could ultimately tank Chris Christie. What do you think? You think he weathers this storm?
I'm not ducking the question. I think a lot will depend on what the investigation reveals. So it comes back to who knew what, when, and what's the level of depth of, how much was Christie aware of it. But I think there's a lot of people got it in this fight. You know, we talked about this a few months ago, that in one sense he may be a popular choice, but there's going to be too much going against him. So if he doesn't think it will severely damage his credibility and it will give fodder to his opponents, and it will make that whole Republican nomination a mess because they'll be used against him. And I hope that the next round of, when it comes to the Republican nominee for the presidency, that it's not as messy as last time. I think that's part of what undermined, because people were so fed up with the fighting amongst the Republicans, they were tearing each other apart. Democrats didn't have to do anything. The Republicans were doing it all for them. And this could just, I think it would be better if we peel this back a little bit, that Christie doesn't even enter into the race. So irrespective of the level, the damage is there, he's damaged goods. I believe it would be better for the Republican Party for him not to enter the primaries in the race.
Yeah, I agree too. I think he's very damaging to the GOP at this point. And Reid Schar, by the way, is that special prosecutor, because even a poll taken that they just took in New Jersey, most New Jersey voters think that Christie knew about the lane closures on the bridge and should resign if they can prove it. So if she's involved in that as well and they can prove that after this investigation, the people in New Jersey who were embracing Chris Christie, even the Democrats, because it's a heavily Democratic place, they're saying forget about it, get out of it. So, if that's the case, then the work is already done. If he is cleared of that, I agree with you. He is damaging to the GOP, and he cannot be in this race.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, it'll be fun to follow this story and see where it leads for sure. All right, peel back the onion. Andrew Szabo, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you, Kate. Thank you, all the listeners. Take care.
Bonjour. Que pensez-vous du marketing?
Marketing publicitaire, advertising politique.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at utopiasilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from utopiasilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit utopiasilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at utopiasilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. utopiasilver.com.